Hey, John. I just looked up from my desk and realized John is not here. So this is awkward. It's also stranger still. See what I did there? Hey everybody, welcome to Stranger Still. It's a podcast where we answer the questions you never thought to ask. I'm your normally just half of the show co-host, Nick Wood, and normally sitting across from me would be John Began. Today's been a weird day. It's been a weird couple of weeks. If you listened to last week's episode, you know we didn't have an episode because we thought my daughter was having a seizure. So we rushed her to the hospital, and because of that, I wasn't able to do like research and stuff. She's fine. She's doing great. She's acting normal. It wasn't a seizure. It was just like a, I don't know, her body freaked out because she passed out. So her like body went into shock, and it looked like a seizure for not as long as seizures last. Anyway, so that was scary, but I didn't have a chance to get an episode done. So then I was like, all right, we'll do it next week. And then it's that time of year where I get too busy, and so I don't do research until like the day before I need to record because I'm an idiot. And so then today, I'm pretty sure my wife now has the flu. Otherwise, she'd be sitting across from me right now if John couldn't make it. You know, she would fill in as she does. And then, so she's like upstairs, and every time she stands up, she probably doesn't want me to tell you this, but she feels like she's going to puke. So I can't have her on the show. And then John is having like a weird day, and he went to go donate blood. Well, while they're doing that, the machine, he probably doesn't want me telling you guys this either, but as they're doing that, the machine breaks down and there's like blood everywhere. And he sends me a picture, and I'm like, holy crap, it's all over your hands. And apparently they wouldn't let him leave because he had lost too much blood. So I was like, well, you know what? No, I'll just record by myself this week. And we'll make it work. Like I have other podcasting buddies that can carry a show by themselves. I've always said that I would never be able to do that, and here we are. Like Ryan Healy of Tales of the Static carries a whole show by himself. Sometimes he has guests on, but that's like a percentage of the time, single digit percentages. And then like Phil Gonzalez of Deep in Bear Country sometimes records in his car alone when he doesn't have a guest for his show. So like I can do this. It might not be as funny as usual, it might even be shorter than usual. I do have one, two, three, four pages of notes that this week I printed off because I got a new printer. And so I was like, I want to print it off and have my notes right there. So this is going to be an interesting week. Oh, there's the Health File podcasts. The Health File podcast. I think she has guests on there now. I don't know. But it's also interesting that this week's topic is privacy related, and I'm doing this privately, alone. I don't know. I can make jokes too. John, I can do it. Watch. Before I get started, I just want to give like a quick shout out to everyone and their best wishes for last week. And my daughter, nothing serious happened, and everyone's like all worried, and I'm like, it's okay. Now I have to pay a giant hospital bill. Yay, American health system. So thanks for everyone who did reach out and make sure that she was okay. I appreciate that, and she's not old enough to appreciate it, but if I told her, she'd probably be like, Melmo. So there's that. If you want to listen to her say Melmo, you can listen to the end of last week's little recording. Anyway, we're going to hop in to today's topic. Today, this was, I guess, listener requested. I think John had sparked it, but what we've been doing lately is we've been putting polls up on our Facebook page asking people what they would like to hear just to get you guys more involved. That's, I mean, I keep saying this show is for you guys. Like, it started out for me and John as like a self-indulgent treat, but now it's become a podcast for you guys. So we want your feedback, and we want to cover the things you want to cover. And it started off as like, what information do companies keep on you, and what do they do with that information? And then it kind of spiraled into, like, I think Jeff Tibbetts of Chapter Approved, I'm just plugging everybody this week, he carries a show by himself too. I can't believe I didn't mention that. Jeff carries a whole show by himself. So my point is, I can do this. I can carry a show by myself. Anyway, he wanted to know what the government keeps on us. And I think everyone kind of has a cursory knowledge of what the government keeps on us, right? We always talk about, like, oh, that search history just put me on a watch list. See that on Reddit all the time. Or you're writing a story and you Google how to make a bomb, and you're like, well, I'm probably on some sort of watch list, right? So I think that's pretty interesting. And as I was thinking about this topic, I don't know if anything I'm going to say is like earth-shattering or new, but I feel like at least I can fill in some of those gaps. Because I always hear, like, my father-in-law, he'll never listen to this, so I can use him as an example. He's like, I don't want any fancy computers or cell phone or anything. I'm good with just a simple phone because I don't want the government to have information on me. I want to stay as off the grid as I can. And to me, I always hear that, and I'm like, first of all, I trust Google with my information more than I do the government. Second of all, by saying that, I don't even know what I mean. Like, what does it mean to, like, keep information away from the government and all these companies and stuff? What are they going to do with it? They're going to sell me more ads, or they're going to prevent me from doing some terrorist act, right? I don't know. That's the only things I can think of. We'll come back to that. I'm already off on a wild tangent. This is what happens when you put me in front of a mic on my own. I just don't stop talking. So in this day and age, people are getting more and more concerned. This is going to be really intimate, isn't it, guys? This is weird. Now I had that thought, and now I'm really uncomfortable that I'm like, I'm in your ears, and it's just you and me. You and me, pal. Hiya, pal. That's my Mickey impression. I have to work on impressions for my daughter. I'm working on my Grover one. I'm not going to do it because it's bad, but I'm working on it. My Big Bird's even worse.
But my Mickey's all right. Ha-ha.
Anyway, I don't know. John called me the other day, and I answered with, hiya, pal. And then we just had a whole conversation where I was Mickey. Anyway, what was I talking about? In this day and age, people are obviously getting more and more worried about the information that's being kept on them by either companies or the government. And with good reason. Like, we found out recently, like a year ago recently, that the government was using smart TVs to listen in on conversations. And this came from, like, the user agreement or the privacy warnings in the Samsung TV manuals or just rumors on the internet. And then finally, some people from the FBI came out in testimony and said, yeah, we're doing this. So when I say that they're listening in, I use that term lightly. It's not like these people in the FBI or the NSA are just sitting around and they're like, oh man, I wonder what John's talking about today, and if he's like doing illegal dogfights in his house, I better listen in and find out. They aren't like, for the most part, they're not targeting ordinary people like you and me, unless you are a criminal of some sort that might commit a terrorist act. And that also, I need to bring that with the caveat that that's if you believe what's out there. Everything that I talk about, I had to preface it with, you're going to have to take it with a grain of salt, because of course the government is going to keep secrets. And normally when I hear that sort of thing, I think you wear a tinfoil hat, and I, on the show, I'd probably make fun of them like I did flat earthers and stuff, kind of rudely. I shouldn't have done that. But in this case, I'm not going to do that, because there have been instances where the government has come out and been like, yeah, we're listening. We've found a way to beat the Android phone encryption so we can get your conversations before Google has encrypted it. That's creepy. So, I mean, my point is, this is stuff that actually happens. And I'm going to be talking about government and private companies. If you're going to talk companies, all the information that they're going to keep on you is going to be to sell you ads. And they're going to be using like spending patterns, web history, mobile phone locations. Like you think about the Target app. It used to be called Cartwheel, so I still call it Cartwheel. It knows when I'm in the Target store. It sends me a notification. And then I use Cartwheel. I scan it at the register, and then I swipe my credit card alongside that. So it knows my patterns in the store as well as my spending habits. And then they have this little machine that uses this algorithm to pump out these coupons specifically made for me. Pretty neat, but also kind of creepy. And then if you're talking to the government, I'm only going to report the official story. So, like I said before, after I say something, you yourself just need to add if you believe what's out there. Just add that line to the end of everything that I say. Deal? Cool. I expect you to say it out loud. And hopefully you're wearing headphones and you're like on a bus and then you creep people out. That would be really creepy. When it comes to this topic, I'm going to try to stay as neutral as I can and report the official story. It's up to you to decide whether you believe that or not. I'm not going to make that decision for you. That's your decision. Anyway, we all know about... going back to the government. We all know about phone tapping. They're also going to look at your web activity, and just like companies will, as well as your texts, your emails, social media activity. And on top of that, they might have some of the other things that other companies keep on you. We'll get to that. So I think what we need to start with is, why do they want this information? I already said for companies, it's easy. They just want to sell you more things. So they want to know your spending habits. So they'll be like, hey, Nick likes dumb Scooby-Doo Funko Pops. He'll enjoy this insurance policy. So we'll just send him insurance policy junk mail every other day. No, guys, get real. I don't want your dumb insurance and policy unless Scooby-Doo's the mascot. But the government, they want all the information to prevent crimes, mostly terrorism, assassinations, which can also be classified as terrorism. So, as you can already tell, from here on out, I'm going to split this episode into two parts. So we're going to go into what companies want to keep on us, and then we're going to talk about what governments want to keep on us. It's what you guys wanted, so I figured we'll just put it all in one show, right? And I will also add the caveat that I'm only talking about America. And once we get to the end, I know I have some Facebook questions that ask this. What are the rulings in other countries and continents and stuff? We'll get there, but for the most part, a lot of the private information that we're going to talk about varies from country to country. Like Australia's privacy with the government sucks, from what I read. UK is okay, but if you go to China, you're screwed. I'm not going to cover China. I don't have time for all that. And as far as I know, we only have one UK listener, and that's Jason. Hi, Jason. And maybe Owen Charles from Classic Schmastic. It's hard to say. I'm just plugging everybody again today. Let me turn my freshly printed page. So where would you like to start? Listener, do you want to talk about companies first or government? Press 1 for more options. No, that's not the wrong thing. Here's the weird thing. My nose is kind of stuffy, and so like it's really hard for me to keep a proper airflow. So I feel like I'm out of breath just by talking to you for 14, 13 minutes or so. I guess we'll start with the government, since you pressed a number. So officially speaking, there aren't just people sitting around wondering if Nick Wood is going to commit a crime today. So let's listen to him. Of course, if the government wants to specifically listen in on someone, they have to have a warrant or go to Congress and the president and all that. The Fourth Amendment prevents against unreasonable search and seizure. So the government can't just be like, hey, I need all this information on Nick Wood, so give it to me. I'm just going to go out there and listen to it. That's illegal. Not to say that they don't do that. We know that they do that. But, and again, I say this lightly. I need to stop saying that. You know all of this is lightly. So, of course, it's going to depend on the institution and what level they follow this law. But we know for, like, a fact, all of this I know because of Trump. he said that Obama wiretapped him. And if I remember correctly, I think it was the CIA that wanted to tap him, but the Obama administration said, no, let's not do it. That's because it's illegal, unless you have probable cause and stuff like that. It's the same thing as if a cop knocks on your door and says, hey, I think you have drugs in your house, and can I come in and find it? And you say no, because you can. They have to have a warrant, and they have to go to the judge to get that warrant, and for the judge to give them the warrant, they have to have probable cause. They have to have a case. They have to have evidence. And then they can bring that warrant to you and then look for drugs. When it comes to normal yokels like us, they come across or happen upon pieces of communication. And that could be via phone calls, email, text, forum posts, social media. And now we're learning smart devices like Alexa or, you know, TVs. I've already talked about that one enough. So I wanted more examples, but I couldn't think of one. So the FBI has tried to defend themselves in this sort of situation by saying, well, these companies are encrypting all their data, so it's getting harder and harder to spy on all you people. We've learned that that's not the case. As I mentioned before, they have found a way to grab the data before the encryption. So as you're making a phone call to someone, you're talking into your phone. The phone then encrypts that, sends it up to the cell phone tower, pings it back to the person that's receiving the call, unencrypts it, and puts it in their ear. Well, right in between you speaking and that encryption, the CIA can just go in and grab that information. Ta-da! You've circumvented all the encryption. Doesn't make me too comfortable. It's just weird. It's just creepy. Maybe that's the problem. I don't want you listening to me talk about we need more diaper genies. We need more dryer sheets. It's just weird. I'm not doing anything wrong. It's just weird. It's like when you pass a cop on the side of the road and you're like, I'm not speeding. I just feel like you want to pull me over. Anyway, I keep getting off on wild tangents. Maybe I can fill half an hour. I'm already a good chunk of the way in. So there's something like 19 agencies out there. And on the official side of things, they are mostly looking for terrorists or anyone that they think is going to commit a heinous crime. And that heinous crime can be like an act of terrorism, like Fight Club, or it could be like selling drugs. Depends on the institution. And when I say happen upon, like I said before, they come across it or happen upon it, it's important to point that out. Because like I said, the Fourth Amendment doesn't allow them to spy on Americans, so institutions like the NSA will have these counterterrorism measures where officially they're looking for information pertaining to either non-Americans or people who in the past have been part of a terrorist organization or have just a general history of crime, that sort of thing. And so they'll be looking at those people. And I have this awesome infograph from BrennanCenter.org that I'm working from. And they put it, they might incidentally come across this information while you're having a conversation with one of these individuals. I will also point out, I came across another website that said you could be talking to someone that shares a name with a known terrorist, and maybe your conversations will be recorded that way. So it's not as an exact science, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So as far as the NSA goes, I couldn't find much on any other institutions. The infograph says that they hold on to your information for 6 years, and they do this so that they can analyze it to see if A, you are a terrorist, or the foreign body you're talking to is a terrorist, or if you plan to have or are committing a crime. Some people, when they talk about other institutions, might say that they hold on to the information forever. Who knows if the NSA actually holds on to it only for 6 years? It's impossible to know. We're not a part of these organizations, and they're not going to come right out and say, yeah, we hold on to your information forever. So jury's out. It's another decision that you get to make. Choose your own podcast. So if it's domestic information that they get from these communications, they'll redact your name, leaving any foreign names in it. They'll leave your name in it if there's also any evidence of any crime, just in case they need it later on. And then from there, apparently, they can give the information to the CIA the FBI or other foreign governments if they need it. So I think I'll save talking about foreign governments until the end, because I know that Jason had asked about them. So in terms of what the government keeps on us that we don't give up voluntarily is mostly conversations. And again, that's the official story. Some people say that they track our whereabouts using GPS. We know from the JFK episode that they were physically tracking Lee Harvey Oswald's whereabouts with agents of the FBI. So why wouldn't they just make it easier by using GPS? Some people say that they keep our fingerprints that they get from our phones. The official story from Apple and Google is that they don't, but it's impossible to know. They can get past the encryption. If you get more towards the more Big Brother end of things, they might keep your face identification handy. Also from our phones now, I can't think of any way that they would get our DNA without our consent, but I'm sure there's some theory out there. And then, of course, they're going to have our search histories and which websites we've visited, just in case, you know, for 6 months you've been looking up how to make pipe bombs or homemade napalm, that sort of thing. They're going to want to know that level of information. But what I want to know is, what are they going to do with this information that's so egregious and so nefarious that people are like, you got to live off the grid, man? Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I legitimately want to know. Because like I said before, when I think about this, the only uses I can think of are selling me more crap, sending me more junk mail, or preventing me from committing a crime. Is that such a bad thing? I don't know. I'm probably wrong. Let me know. So maybe it's like the Avengers where they're just going to like fly up this helicopter and kill a certain sect of people that think a certain way or plan on being a certain way. I don't know. So the last thing I want to talk about with the government is how to end up on a government watch list. Because I woke up this morning, I did all my research last night, and I woke up and I was like, crap, I don't know how to get on a government watch list. And everything that I came across, this is where I learned that there's 19 different institutions like gathering your information and trying to prevent you from committing terrorism. Everything I came across was anti-terror. So all the watch lists were anti-terror. I'm sure there's other ones out there. Of course there is, like child predator lists and black market exchanges. I'm sure there's lists for those, but everything I came across was anti-terror measures. And I'm sure all these other lists out there work the same way. I just couldn't find any information on that. So, of course, what they're going to do is they're basically going to build a profile for you. They're going to look at your criminal history, see if it pertains to any violent acts against other people, and any acts of terrorism, terrorists adjacent, I don't know what you want to call it. They'll look at your social media posts, see what kind of groups you're a part of, both in social media and in real life. They'll look at your current social affiliations. Not exactly sure how they get all of that. Cell phone records, see who you've called, see if you've called a known terrorist, that sort of thing. You know, we've all heard about that. I don't know if I'm on a government watch list, but I certainly hope I'm not. Just trying to educate you guys. I wasn't done with that page. So, should we move on to what companies keep on us? And then we'll tie it all together at the end, talking about what companies do when the government asks them for information. I'm not going to spend too much time on companies because a lot of the information that they gather is going to be a lot of the same. They're going to look at your web history. They're going to track your search history. They're going to figure out what groups on Facebook you're in, you know, all that stuff. And if it's Facebook looking for this information, it's what ads can we sell you. If you're looking at a product page on Amazon and then you go back to Facebook, it's going to have that product on the side there because it has your search history using cookies and cash. Everyone knows this. This isn't new information. There are companies out there, like Google is the best example that I can find about this, where they will grab your information and they will just hold on to it for themselves. There are other companies out there that will hold your, they'll take in your information and then sell it to other people. And then there's other companies that do a mixture of both. They'll buy information from people and sell information from people. What I came across, and I'm sure if you're listening out there, you probably already knew about this, but there's this thing called information brokers out there now, which is totally bonkers to me. There's whole companies that make a killing off of just like a stockbroker. They take in your information. they're like, yeah, this is valuable stuff. I want that. So they'll buy it off of somebody. They'll hold on to it. They'll make a profile out of you. And then someone will come by and be like, hey, I need to know about blah, blah, blah. And they're like, hey, I have the perfect person. Let me sell you this information on Nickwood. It's ludicrous. And they make a ton of money. I just wanted to bring that up. Broadly speaking, companies, they want our location. The least nefarious example I have of this is Uber wants to know where you are so they can get a car to you fastest. There's nothing wrong with that. Some companies now put like pylons in their store, so when you approach a certain part of the store, it sends a notification to your phone. There's stuff like that. That's a little more weird, but it's not bad. I mean, they're just trying to sell you more stuff. They also want to know our web history, our cookies and cash. I already talked about this. So when I put in Scooby-Doo Clue on eBay, now I get all these emails trying to sell me Scooby-Doo Clue on eBay and Amazon. There's also the famous story about the Target coupons, and I looked this up on Snopes, and it is real. They use our credit cards and our purchase history to keep track of everything that we've purchased, and supposedly, using that information, they plug it into an algorithm, and it accurately predicted a woman was pregnant. A teenager, I believe she was 16. I don't know, it doesn't matter her age. I'm not going to bring that into this. They also want to know boring things like our email, our age, our gender, our address, our race, and so on and so forth, blood type. And all of that is just to build a demographic. And maybe the weirdest thing is that there's rumors out there right now that like the Facebook app will listen to your conversations even when the app isn't being used. It doesn't matter if you're using the app. It's creepy anyway. Like, someone was talking about replacing their air filters in their AC unit. They never searched up anything about air filters or anything, and then all of a sudden Facebook started putting ads up about air filters. And there's a video on YouTube of a guy where throughout the day he keeps talking about cat food by himself and with his significant other, I assume. And then 2 days later, ads for cat food start popping up. He's never had a cat. He's never looked up cat food on the internet. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you want Friskies? I don't know. Anyway, so companies like Google, they'll hold on to this information to sell you more things. Other times, people just want to gather this information to sell it specifically to an information broker, get all kinds of just easy money off of it. What they're going to do is they're going to take all the information and build a profile, just like on the watch lists. They're going to take your age, your sex, your race, all of that, build a demographic, and then when someone's like, hey, I need to know who to sell this stuff to, they're going to go to these information brokers and say, who's the perfect person? And they're going to buy it from them. Someone in an Atlantic article said that they bought the information that an information broker had on them, and supposedly it was all wrong. But I didn't like the article, I didn't like the way it was written, so who knows if that's real. My point is, there's companies out here that make a killing off of this. The last thing I want to talk about before we get to Facebook questions is what happens when the government asks for information from other companies? And every company is different. I can't just paint a broad brush. Like there's companies out there that are going to be really shady about this. There's companies out there that are going to be really transparent about it, like Google. There was an article on ZDNet.com that had an article that summed up a blog post from the chief legal officer of Google. He made a whole blog post about what they do when the government requests information from them. And I thought this was awesome. Like, who's going to go out there and be like, yeah, this is what our company does. It's just, I don't know. I like Google. I'm not paid by them. I'm not paid by anyone other than our Patreon supporters. But anyway, the first thing that they do, the government has to subpoena the information. Again, going back to the Fourth Amendment, they can't conduct unlawful search and seizure. They have to have a reason to want this information. So from there, Google will take their request, they'll, quote, scrutinize it, make sure it doesn't violate any of the policies in their user agreement. So when you hit that I read the end user license agreement and I've sold my soul to you, check that box without actually reading it, that's what they check back to. They set out all these guidelines on their privacy policy to say, we won't give this information, we may give this information, yada, yada, yada. They scrutinize the request against the privacy policy and make sure it doesn't have any conflicts there. And from there, if it doesn't have any conflicts, then they have to submit it, right? It's the law. On top of that, companies, like I said before, are now encrypting all this information to keep it from getting, first of all, to other parties, but it also keeps it out of the hands of the government, incidentally. It's not like they're doing that on purpose, but it's so when you send off your credit card to buy some shoes off of Amazon, some dude isn't in Alabama and he's like, haha, I've got your credit card number and I'm going to go buy gold rings. That's the best joke I got, guys. But as I said before, the government can subvert that. I don't know to what extent. Nobody really knows until someone comes out and testifies that the government has been doing such and such, right? So I feel like I've talked forever and my voice is getting really dry. So I am going to take a break and we'll come back. I turned into Bernie Sanders when I talk too much. Here's what we'll do. I'm going to take a break. Normally I'd have John recap. Point of the story is the government tries to stop you from committing terrorism. Companies try to stop you from buying things elsewhere. And here's a break. First of all, thanks for sticking with me on this one. I hope you learned something and I hope you found it interesting. Who knows? If you want to interact with us, vote on future topics, or just say hello, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/group/StrangerStillShow. You can also go to our website, StrangerStillShow.com. We've got a Twitter at StrangerStill. And we got a Patreon, patreon.com/StrangerStill. You can support us, get extra bonus content, and we'll give you a virtual kiss. You can also review us on iTunes or wherever you're listening to us. We'll appreciate it. We'll read the iTunes ones on the air because those are the most accessible. And we don't have any Android phones to get the Google Play information. Sorry, Google listeners. I love you. My wife is one now, so. So we got some Facebook questions here. I asked who has questions about information the government and other companies keep on you. The first one is from Ryan B. He wanted to know, do they know if I'm a lady in the streets, freak in the sheets, asking for a friend? No, I don't believe so. But you never know. I've also got one from Jeff Kowalski from the Creepypasta podcast, another plug, previous guest of the show. He wanted to know, do they know about all the times I tweeted that I want to chop the president's head off? I probably shouldn't have given your podcast name out there and make it easier for them to find you. Yes, they do. If they feel like you are actually planning on acting on cutting the president's head off, you're definitely on a terrorist watch list. Otherwise, probably not. You're probably on a low-level watch list, but not like a full-on, like, we gotta send a SWAT team over to Jeff's house and take him down. And then we've got Jason here. He wanted to know, how do data protection rules cover data crossing international lines? Do companies transfer data to less regulated countries in order to keep them longer? I didn't come across anything that said that they would keep them longer. I just think that the government, depending on who you believe, of course I read through countless tinfoil hat blogs that say that they just hold on to the information forever. And to some extent that's true. I'm not going to say that these people are crazy, but like the NSA, they'll hold on to it for 6 years. If they wanted to hold on to it for longer, they could. And then just be in a buttload of trouble when someone found out. But how much of that have we found out? Not a whole lot. The interesting thing, though, when I was reading that Google article, is if someone in the UK, for instance, requests information, they have a physical presence in the UK, so they have to abide by any laws that pertain there in regards to policy. So I'm not sure. I assume that the UK's legal system is similar to ours, so they need a warrant and they need to have probable cause for that search and seizure before Google can give it up. But if it's like Zimbabwe, where they don't have a physical presence, they don't have to abide by those laws, so they can say, no, we're just not going to give it to you. Or they could say, yeah, we're going to give it to you. I doubt that they would do that, but they have that option because they don't have a physical presence there. It's like how some places will charge you sales tax if they have a physical presence in the state you live in, and then other times they just don't because they don't have to. That's how the internet works. So the other interesting thing, though, is, like I said before, they can give up the information they come across to other foreign bodies. So let's say you're having a conversation with a Russian, just as a wild example, and you plan on committing terrorism in Russia. Maybe Russia wasn't the best example. So let's say you're talking to someone in Australia, and you plan on committing some act of terrorism in Australia. Well, then the NSA is going to send that information right on over to australia.email.com@email.com and try to subvert that terrorist act. I mean, that's just how it operates. In terms of monitoring, it goes both ways. They'll monitor foreign bodies, like I talked about earlier. They're mostly looking for foreign bodies that are about to commit terrorism, which maybe isn't the best way to go about doing that, but this isn't the episode for that. And they'll use that information freely because they aren't Americans, so they can technically spy on them. It's weird stuff, but that's how the laws work. So, laws. I don't have anything else for you guys. Like I said, I hope this was at least a little bit entertaining. I had fun, but I feel like I just kind of breezed through everything. Normally, I have a bouncing board that helps slow things down. Next week, we should be back to normal. Man, what are we going to cover for the week of Christmas, guys? What do you want to hear? Normally, we would be doing like a whole month of like holiday-themed things, but we haven't even started. So, oh well, I guess we'll get there when we get there, huh? You and me, and John, and our other listeners. So, thanks for listening. I'm still Nick.
And I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.